Okay, folks, welcome to the Day Late Doll Dude Wait What podcast for whatever week this is. This is our 14th episode, and it is our E3 episode. We'll be talking about all the stuff that happened during E3 this week gone, and folks, it's been a lot of stuff to talk about, so we might run a little long with this episode, but we'll see how it goes. I am Toya. With me today are... Sorry, I had to stop there for a second. With us today... Jamie. Yeah, Jamie did drop. Calling him back now. With us today are Bob.
Hello.
Sean.
Hello.
And rejoining us in a couple of seconds will be Jamie. I think his internet just died. It's going to be a long episode, folks. Trust me on this one. We also might expect Moon to come back at some point during the podcast, but we'll see how that goes. First off, let's talk about the big shows that went down for E3. Now, everyone likes to say who won E3 at which show and which one of the console makers is the dominant one. And we're going to do just that. Well, no, we're not. We're going to kind of look at these one by one for just a little bit. And let's start off with the one that came first. Let's start off with Microsoft. Anybody have anything they want to point out about Microsoft show?
It was awesome. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I quite enjoyed a lot of what Microsoft showed off. The big reveals at Microsoft this year were what we used to call the Project Natal is now called the Kinect. It is everything that we were told. It's a motion sensor. It's a voice-activated thing. You can watch movies with it. You can play games with it. Yeah, and they showed off a lot of the launch titles that are supposed to be used with it. They showed off Kinectimals. They showed off some other stuff, but for me, Kinectimals was the biggest of the lot. And we were also shown the slim Xbox 360. What are your guys' takes on Microsoft showing at this year's E3? And we welcome back Jamie, by the way. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, everybody.
My general feeling is meh.
You're meh on Microsoft.
There you go.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm very meh on the Kinect. The Kinect, I have no interest in. It's a very gimmicky thing, which I don't think they've implemented particularly well, and so far everything just seems to be a rip-off of Nintendo that they've released. Nintendo or PlayStation, because they already did certain things with the iToy. So I'm not very impressed with it. And outside that, they didn't really show... Yeah, nothing. Nothing particularly impressive. Sorry.
Well, from a traditionalist standpoint, we did get some Gears of War 3 gameplay, some Halo Reach gameplay... again, well, you're right. There's nothing really that, you know, newfangled about anything there. But, I don't know. I was kind of interested to see the space flight combat in, Halo Reach. That was big shit for me. Gears of War 3 didn't really seem to impress me.
Oh, yeah,
that much,
sorry, though. I forgot about that.
Yeah. The Gears of War stuff didn't impress me much, though.
Gears of War 3 is just... Gears of War 3 is Gears of War 1.2. With Gears of War 2 being Gears of War 1.1.
It had, like,
It's the same game.
Yeah, it had, like, some new enemies and shit, but it's like, okay, fine. You know? I mean, when I saw Gears of War 2 and they had the sea of enemies, that was kind of new. That was kind of interesting and that was kind of exciting because that changed the gameplay dynamic. But this time it's like, okay, so it's like Resident Evil now. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, Sean, you wanted to say something about the Kinect?
Yeah.
I done forget. I'm sorry.
That's fine. It's got to be one of those shows, I guess. Yeah. Kinect was Microsoft's big review. Oh, and let's talk about the Xbox Slim for a second. Running news is that the Slim will cost $299, although we're already hearing rumors about a $199 configuration with a smaller hard drive, if that is even possible. I'm thinking it's gonna be, because if they're gonna create a Slim system, they're gonna have to drop price somewhere. And the Slim version is compatible with the Kinect in that it has an extra port on the back for the Kinect power supply, which is something that the old Xbox doesn't have. You'll have to plug your Kinect into the wall if you have one of the old 360s. Not a big thing, just more of a convenience issue than anything else. I have to say the new 360 does look pretty good. It's got a much better cooling system. It runs games quieter, supposedly more reliable. And something I was reading online today on XboxScene.com, which is a site that has to do with Xbox modding, and I don't recommend any of you go and read it. But what they have found out is that when the 360 Slim is about to overheat because of ventilation, instead of just overheating and dying like it usually used to do, it will actually flash you a message and tell you that it's going to shut itself off.
Ah.
I think that's pretty cool.
Fair enough.
I'm very happy with that. I think that's going to go a long way into curbing a lot of the problems with the system. No, it's an intelligent system.
One thing I want to say, though, is it looks a lot like a PS3.
It does. It's got that glossy finish.
Shiny and black, mm-hmm. rounded edges. It is now a PS3, is what they've done. They've said, Sony, yours looks better. We copy because we're Microsoft and we make it look better, which they have.
Yeah,
in
I like
typical Microsoft fashion, except for the Kinect. It's the one thing Microsoft done that I don't think they've done better.
Have you noticed though on the 360 Slim that there's a little bit of a fracture going down the side of it, which actually refracts any reflections along the side? I think that's nice. I like how that looks. That's really cool to me from a design standpoint, at least.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think it's a very nice looking console.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's. I know for a fact that in my local game shop,
mm-hmm.
they had two people in there on Saturday asking about when it was released, the price costs, and offers that were going to be done.
Well,
and they've already said that if you bring in your old 360,
mm-hmm.
if you bring in your old 360, you get £100 off the new one.
Very nice.
And if you bring in... And if you get a new one, I think it was £30 off the Natal, is what they were saying out loud. If any of this is official or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it looks like it's going to be... the way they were making it sound is there's just one version with the hard drive. That's as far as they were aware of. So I don't know. There may well be another one in the pipeline, but it's not going to be coming out at the same time as the new Slimline, I don't think.
Well, I'm also hearing things... Go ahead, Jamie.
You'll probably find that they will bring out a cheaper one later on, but it'll be like the arcade and won't have a hard drive.
I doubt that, because what's happened is they've basically phased out the memory units. Now that the 360 has an ability in the dashboard where you can format a USB drive, they're going to go with that. And because they're not going to make money off of the sale of proprietary memory units, I don't think they're going to push for a hard drive-less unit. I think, if anything, it's going to have, downwards of a 120 gig hard drive if they're going to do the smaller version variant. Personally, I'm not going to get one myself because my 360 works just fine. But I do think it's funny to note that they've blatantly said that the new Slim will not red ring, but the reason for that is because it doesn't actually have red LEDs in the ring. So if it fails, it actually shows you green rings this time, which I guess is a whole lot more positive.
Oh no, you're gonna have those people. It's green. It should work. It's green. It's green.
I think it gets greener.
Oh, what is it? Does it recycle itself?
If it would, that would be nice.
No, it's like the Hulk. It's like the Hulk. The angrier it gets, the greener it gets.
But then,
shouldn't that be the user?
No, but then if it gets red, shouldn't it become more intelligent and be able to use guns?
No, that would be gray, Toya.
No, that's red. Read a comic book, damn it.
I don't want to. There's too many words.
No. Yeah. Update on comic books before you comment.
Oh, bite me.
So I guess that's pretty much the long and short of Microsoft is the Kinect, the Slim 360, and some of their new games coming out. I'm pretty jazzed for the Kinect, but then again, I am sort of the resident Microsoft fanboy around here. I like marketing hype, even though I know it's silly. I do like the marketing hype, and I do get excited for these things when Microsoft says that they're coming out. But I have said it before on the show, and I will say it again, that I am looking forward to when these things become mainstream on PC interface. I think that the Kinect is going to change man-machine interface for the future. So yeah, that has been the Microsoft press conference, so let's move on. The next press conference that came out was, I believe, Nintendo. Nintendo had a secondary showing after Microsoft. And, Bob's going to reset his router for a couple of seconds, so he'll be off for just a bit. See you back in a second, Bob. So while Bob's gone, let me talk to Jamie Sean, who are you know, more versed in the ways of Nintendo, especially the older Nintendo stuff. Nintendo's press conference, they revealed, well, first of all, a bunch of Wii titles. Nothing, you know, incredibly revolutionary. Kirby Yarn, blah, blah, blah. What they did show off that was potentially earth-shattering is the Nintendo, and I'm gonna copy just how Aonuma said it on the stage show. He said the Nintendo 3DS. He felt it was so epic he had to pause. Gents, the 3DS is the next incarnation of Nintendo DS. It is able to produce 3D graphics without the need for glasses. How it does this, we've told you on the show before, there is a camera that notes the position of your eyes and broadcasts two independent images, one to each eye, to produce the image of depth. We knew that going in, but when we saw the first game that was available for it, it had nearly GameCube-level graphics, and that was shocking. Sean, what'd you think of Kid Icarus? What is it, Kid Icarus Uprising?
Oh my gosh, I loved it, and I love the mechanic. I love the one mechanic of it.
That is
the 5 minutes of flight.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I'm from what I'm seeing of the flight looks a little like Panzer Dragoon Orta style on rail shooting. Not that that's a bad thing. That I think in 3D, that's going to be a killer app for the system. Jamie, did you ever play the original Kid Icarus? Do you think this is a great return to form, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a great return to form. It should be very interesting. I'm definitely going to pick one up. It'll be interesting to see what the price point will be with it.
I'm thinking something like the introductory level price point for the DS. I don't think it'll be much higher than that. Nintendo has always been very good about placing their products at a good enough price point where the average consumer will go, hey, that's nice, I'll pick that up today. Instead of having to go, I think I should save up for a PSP or something. You know, they make their products impulse buys. You know, it's something that you see in the game store and go like, huh, you know, my kids would like that. You know, it's one of those things. I mean, they also showed off a new Legend of Zelda game that uses the Wii Motion Plus. Kind of yawn there. Nothing huge on that. Anybody think anything else Nintendo showed off that we need to talk about aside from the 3D?
Donkey Kong Returns.
Oh yeah. There were a couple of there were a couple of returning things that Nintendo talked about. Anybody want to take the Donkey Kong Return ones while I look up some more stuff from E3?
I didn't see the Donkey Kong one, so I'd give that to Jamie.
All right, basically they've made a new Donkey Kong 2D2D game in the same way as they've done with Super Mario Wii, and it looks fantastic. It's the same sort of thing with the I'm trying to think of the word now. The four player interaction, and it just looks really awesome. I don't know when it's out though, is the only thing I've got to look up.
Yeah, they didn't really. I don't think they did give us a release date on that, but I think it's safe to say that anything we see now is going to be out within the next calendar year. Nintendo's not really known for their delays, so they're usually very good about that kind of thing. Okay, so the new Zelda game is called Skyward Sword. Supposedly, it's going to show us the origins of the Master Sword. It's going to have Wii Motion Plus for fairly close one-to-one motion. Somebody's going to need a call back in Bob. He's back now. And, Hi, Bob. We're discussing the Nintendo press conference right now. We're doing a quick rundown of everything you showed off. Golden Sun Dark Dawn was shown, and I know one of our listeners, Zach, was very happy to hear about this. He's a big Golden Sun fan. And it looks, I mean, it's a DS game. It looks interesting. I played the original Golden Sun, and it's a fairly competent RPG. Donkey Kong Country Returns, Zelda. We forgot to talk about GoldenEye. The new GoldenEye for the Wii.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
I noticed that, they're bringing in the, I think it's six or eight of the classic villains, like, you know, Odd Job, Jaws, I think, Oh, shoot, I can't think of
most likely
right
those
now.
Are just going to be multiplayer skins, though. I don't know how much of an impact that's going to make. The thing but is, I don't know, is this a remake of the original GoldenEye, or is this a sequel? Because they did a sequel. They did GoldenEye.
I think it's
Rogue.
A remake. It's a remake because what I've seen of it, because I played the original GoldenEye.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it starts off is just like the original did, but they replace something else in the game.
Which is?
They replace Pierce Brosnan.
With Daniel Craig.
Yes.
Huh. I'm not sure
why that
I'm
is, though.
With that. What do you think?
Do you know why that is?
No rights to his likeness anymore?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet that.
And if I was Pierce Brosnan, I don't blame him for telling him to fuck off. Because they promised him to do one more film. And then they just turned around one day and went, nah.
Mm.
He was like, oh, great. Cheers for that. Thanks for letting me down last minute.
Yeah, that is probably going to be... I mean, I can see a lot of nostalgic Wii owners picking that up. And honestly, they've been kind of ignoring the older Wii owners for quite some time now in order to push out a lot of shovelware on the Wii. So I'm kind of glad to see them trying to get back the older market. But something tells me this might be a little bit too little too late because, first of all, yeah, they're saying that it's got four-player split-screen combat. But really what people have been begging for all this time is online multiplayer on GoldenEye. And a lot of people have said that since Rare is now working for Microsoft that GoldenEye should have been on the Xbox Live Arcade. And I don't blame them for saying that because I'd love to be able to sit down and play some multiplayer GoldenEye when the day comes, you know?
Yeah, that would be good. Unfortunately, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, licensing issues up the wazoo.
But you say that, but has anybody actually played GoldenEye multiplayer recently?
No.
Because I played it about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Me and a friend of mine, we pulled out my N64, got out GoldenEye, blew away the cobwebs, eventually got it working. And it hasn't aged well at all. When you compare, you've got to think, it's now, this shooter, as fun as it is now trying to compete at the level of Halo. Don't get me wrong, GoldenEye for its time, outstanding.
Yeah,
nothing could beat the fun level I had with it at the time. However, playing it back now, it's not the same game. It's not the same game at all. If you want fast jump in action fun, you play Halo 3.
Yeah.
Or Halo 2. You don't play GoldenEye anymore. GoldenEye is a control scheme. You end up having to try and use two control pads, which I'm sure a lot of us did back in the day anyway, playing GoldenEye, correct?
Yeah. I didn't. I used one. But then again, I'm left-handed, so the N64 controller for me was actually pretty good.
Oh, it was good for me as well, but if you did, you could play it with two controls, didn't you?
And you could I've heard that. I've never actually done it.
Oh, well, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic. And then when you do it like that, it's actually the single player holds up quite well.
Hmm.
But trying to play multiplayer with that scheme...
Well, here's a question for the new one, right? They're obviously going to make it Wii compatible, so it's a point-and-shoot thing, but I'm wondering, will you have the ability to use the classic controller on it? Because I would love to play that with the classic controller.
Well, you'd think so, but I don't know. I think they'll ruin it and make it like all the other rubbish shooters on the Wii.
All right.
That's just my cynical point of view.
Well, that's pretty much the summing up of the Nintendo press conference. Sony had their press conference the same day, and I gotta say, and a lot of people are gonna hate me for this because I am the resident Microsoft fanboy, but Sony.
Yeah, Sony.
I was just gonna say, I actually didn't think it was Sony's big show.
No.
I thought it was just, oh, is this a precursor for their main one? Oh, no, this is it.
Yeah.
But you could at least put some effort in, you boring bastards.
No, they put effort in, they just didn't have much to show for it. That's the problem. Okay, so let's say the big thing that everyone was expecting is the PlayStation Move to make its big debut, but they didn't even harp on that. They kind of just said, oh, here's Move, and then they went on to other stuff.
That's because they knew if they showed too much of it, everyone would just go, hang on a minute! I saw that in the Nintendo conference! It's called a Wii!
Yeah.
Oh, wait. What about the gun attachment for the Move?
Oh, let's not even talk about that. That was not the show, first of all. We're not talking about that right now. Okay, here's what else they've shown off. Well, one of the big confirms at the Sony booth was how they confirmed Twisted Metal. They actually had, you know, the Sweet Tooth truck drive out. David Jaffe, creator of Twisted Metal and God of War, came out and said, "Hey, we're doing Twisted Metal." And the crowd went, "Okay. Great."
Yeah. That's very much a case of a company thinking the fans care more about a franchise than they do.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The game looks good, but, I mean, there was a lot of production value went into that reveal, and it's like, really? Twisted Metal? I mean, it's a good game and all, but it doesn't inspire the kind of fan wankery that something like, you know, Jaffe's other console exclusive God of War might, you know? I mean...
Well, it's because Twisted Metal, although it was always fun, mm-hmm. was never good.
No.
It was never a game you'd ever raise above 7 out of 10. Mm-hmm. The only reason Twisted Metal Black did so well is because it was one of the first PS2 games that wasn't complete dross. I mean, who remembers the start of the PS2? It was like raiding through shit to try and find a good game on that system.
Yeah, Tekken Tag Tournament.
That was one of the better ones. Right. Yeah, the Bouncer.
I liked the Bouncer. I thought the Bouncer was alright.
Shut up. Nothing good came from Bouncer. Nothing good came from that game.
I like the art style. I like the art style.
I think the only good thing that came from that is a serial rapist watched it and then decided to commit suicide after playing that game because he had nothing to live for because that game destroyed him. That's the only good thing to come out of that game.
It's not that bad.
It is.
I don't know. Anyway, moving on. I'm not going to fight you on that one, Bob. I know it's a horrible game. It's just I kind of liked it. Okay, what else was big at the Sony announcement? I think probably for me the biggest surprise was that they gave us a release date for Gran Turismo 5. which makes me think, because the thing is that the producer of Gran Turismo 5 has been kind of sitting there going, it's not perfect yet. I want it to be perfect before. Makes me think that somebody tied him up to a chair, gagged him, and said, it's coming out this year.
Basically, they removed one testicle and threatened to remove the other one if he didn't set a release date.
God, no, it was threatening to become the next Duke Nukem Forever because they kept upgrading it and upgrading it and upgrading it without actually releasing anything.
No, it was never close to becoming the next Duke Nukem Forever. because one, they didn't decide to use a game system until the very last minute, change the entire engine to go through, and then change the engine again. They never did that of Gran Turismo 5.
No. They have, however, been upping the polygon models on a lot of the cars, so that's a little similar. I mean, it's not as bad as a whole engine rewrite, I'll grant you, but it's still pretty bad.
The thing is, mm-hmm. Gran Turismo 5 is going to have to be something special to make me drop Forza 3 and pick that up.
This is true, because I think Forza 3 is quite a competent game. It holds... I mean,
Forza 3?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, Forza 3 is currently the best simulation racing game you can buy.
And I would like to point out that Forza 1, 2, and 3 have all come out in the space of time between Gran Turismo 4 and Gran Turismo 5.
It's true. However, 1 fell well short.
What's that?
2 was, I would... Forza 1 came well short, I think.
It was okay.
I didn't rate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't rate that at all. Mm-hmm. Forza 2 was good, very good, and I'd put that on par with Gran Turismo 4, which is, that's a compliment. That's a compliment.
Yes.
It was a very good game. Yes. Now, 3 surpassed them both.
Really?
Hands down, easily. I think 3 surpassed them both. Mm-hmm. I own 3. I really enjoy it. I've owned 2 as well. Owned 4. Gran Turismo 4 and all
that. Wait. When did you pick that up? I thought you told me you were thinking about getting it. When did you pick that up?
Forza 3. I picked that up at a car boot a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay. About
two or 3 weeks ago, I picked it up at a car boot for Fiverr.
Oh, okay.
All
right, let me talk to Sean about this next reveal, that one that was completely unexpected. Portal 2 for PS3.
What?
Well, here's the thing, right? I remember back in 2007 when the Orange Box came out, and it came out on all, you know, all the main systems, and the PS3 version was less than stellar. Having gone back to it, Gabe Newell said in an interview later on, he said that we're never going to code for the PS3 again. It's not a user-friendly system. It's very complicated to program for. Nothing good can come of it. He literally said it's the worst of the systems available today. Fast forward to 2010, and he goes, we think that the PlayStation 3 is the greatest console on the market.
Yeah.
To be fair,
mm-hmm. there is a good reason for that.
Well, we've come a lot further in technology, and I think they can now program for it. They can now understand its architecture and work to it.
I was going to say, that's the big change.
Yeah.
When the PS3 came out with its weird-ass system that only it has, everyone was having major issues code over it. And it came very close to becoming the next Saturn.
It did.
The next Dreamcast.
It did.
It came very close, PS3. If it wasn't for Blu-ray winning the high-definition war, the PS3 would have gone the way of the Dreamcast by now.
By the way, Gabe Newell also confirms Steam support for the PS3, which I find kind of redundant since the PS3 has its own online store already.
Okay. No, I'd agree with that. No, I would agree with you.
I did like, however, how they did the reveal where the show was basically interrupted by GLaDOS.
that was awesome.
Cute. Yeah, that's exactly, you know, I love Valve for doing shit like that, but I was kind of hoping that their big E3 surprise would have been Half-Life 3. I was really, really sort of hoping that. Because seeing the Portal 2 footage, that does look like a brand new engine, and usually when they have a brand new engine, that's a brand new Half-Life game. So I'm a little disappointed.
However, one good thing that has come out of this.
Yeah.
No more cake.
Yes, the producers of the game have said that they are willing to drop the cake jokes because they have no interest in resurrecting a 3-year-old meme. So, Sean, at this point of the show, I'm going to have to ask you to turn in your cake jokes. Turn them in.
No.
Turn them in right now.
Okay, you can have the cake jokes, but I'm keeping the bacon jokes.
It's okay, nobody likes your bacon jokes.
No, Bob.
They're worth to anyone.
Bob, I'll get them from him later. We'll find something. I'll figure out a way. Yeah.
I was just trying to upset him.
One at a time, okay?
It's Sean! Hello, Sean. Hello, Sean. How are you?
Bacon!
let's talk about something for a second here that Sony didn't really talk too much about at their presser. Something that they kind of tried to slip past us. Anybody here heard about PlayStation Network Plus?
No.
Oh, I missed. That's
okay,
past me.
Okay. It's great. It's fantastic. Yeah. You're going to have to pay for what you used to have free on PlayStation Network. Isn't that great?
Hey, isn't that Sony's main selling point for over the 360 being it's free?
Yeah. No, well, to be fair, you're still going to be able to play your games online free. Here's what PlayStation Network Plus is. You can rent games online. Basically, for a monthly subscription fee, you can download whatever games they have available that month and play them for as long as you want. Except that at the end of the month, it goes back to being, like, not free anymore.
No, but let me... So you can download a game, say on the first day of a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take it for that month, for this monthly fee, which is, I'm going to guess, is a flat rate for all the games.
Yes. So, like, $30.
And then what?
$30 for 3 months or something like that, I think. Something like that.
Is it going to work like a Love Film system?
I think it is.
So that you can basically, you can download, say the subscription's $30. For those $30, you can download 3 games at a time, and you can play them for as long as you want. Cancel your monthly payment.
Until the monthly or bi-monthly period for that particular game is up. And then you can choose whether you want to pay the full price for that game and keep it or be done with it for the time being. Which is nice.
Go ahead,
Jamie.
I believe you said it was $17 for 3 months or $50 per year.
Oh, that's not bad then. That's actually not bad. That's about a little cheaper than Xbox Live. It's not the same thing as Xbox Live, I'm just saying.
And what you download, you'll keep as long as you keep your subscription, basically.
Oh.
But they didn't go into a lot of details of what would be in the subscription and what you'd get still free. They were a little bit sort of half-assed how they...
So it's more like a music subscription thing, then?
Well, I don't know if music's included in it. Basically, there's going to be...
No, I mean like how you download MP3s on a subscription plan, like that.
Yeah, something like that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, right, if it's like Love Film, you look at the list of games, I'm allowed to have 3 games a month. This just loses as a theory because they haven't told us the ins and outs.
Mm-hmm.
I download 3 games. As long as I am paying my monthly fee,
I can
play these 3 games.
That's not
and
bad.
And I uninstall one game, and I can download another game. If they do that, I'll be all over it.
Which leads me to think...
I'll say that right now. I'll pay the yearly fee if they do that.
Which leads me to think that between that and Steam support, is it that the PlayStation Network is becoming too expensive for them to run by themselves? Is that what's going on here? Is the advertising revenue not paying it anymore?
Damn right.
It's got to be.
That's why Microsoft knew from the start that maintaining an effective... Well, let's put this way, right? Sony are trying to use the model that they had for their PS2 gaming online network thing that they was free for their PS3 one. Difference being, they in the PS2, anybody who tried playing PS3 games online will know it was shit.
Yeah.
It was utter drivel.
It was horrible.
It worked never. Mm-hmm. So that's why it was free, because it didn't work. It was, you know, they didn't maintain it properly. No, PS3 one comes out. We have to maintain the service because it's going head to head with a game
Xbox
service
Live.
That is near flawless. It has its problems. Everything has its problems, especially when you add online into the mix. But it's near flawless.
Well, I think Microsoft tested their stuff in the wild, like really aggressively, to make sure that their online code was up to snuff for the Xbox One, much less the 360. By the time the 360 came around, they were fairly confident in their ability to run an online gaming network.
Yes. But when the PS3 came out, they had to obviously increase their workload to compete with the 360's one. Okay?
Right.
Now, they did that, and I've played online on the PS3. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as good as the 360. But it's nowhere near as bad as the PS2.
Why do you not think it's as good as Xbox Live?
I don't know. It's just comes across. I suffer from more lag and I suffer from more disconnections on the PS3 one. That's it. It's minor. It's not. There's no. You know what I mean? If someone said, "You've got to pick one," I'd pick the 360. But if someone said, "Oh, you're going to have to make do with the PS3 one," I wouldn't exactly cry.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But because they have to compete with a paid service, which is superb, and considering the support you get from Microsoft, if anything happens to your account or anything, you know, it's worth the money. They're going to have to, I reckon, PS4, they'll have to charge a yearly fee as well, if not sooner. I really do. I really think they're going to have to.
It just seems to be that's the way you keep an online network running. I mean, you have to pay staff who police this thing. You have to pay upkeep and maintenance on your servers. I mean, Xbox Live, for what I pay for it, I get my money's worth out of it, you know? Even if all I do is I go on random matches on Street Fighter 4 or Marvel vs. Capcom 2, that's worth that, you know, $20 for 3 months I usually pay. That's more than worth it, because it prevents me from having to run out every month and buy a new game, because the games I already have, their lives are extended by that. So to me, I'm saving money.
Yeah. But this is what I'm... Plus, going back to the PlayStation Network Plus thing, there's one major thing that needs to be brought out of this.
Yes.
What games are going to be on it?
Well, they said tons of content. They revealed a bunch of stuff, but the thing is, it's going to be on a rotational basis. Some things are going to be available some months. Other things are not going to be available on those months. So
then
it's
I won't like that.
Yeah, it's whatever we choose to give you. It's
exactly
communist Russia.
If I can't play, like say for example, they release something on that network that's fantastic. Say they did it with God of War 3, for example, right?
Yes.
Now, for someone, just say you trade in your copy of God of War 3, that would be incentive, I think, to go, I've thought about testing the system, there's a few there. God of War 3, it's always worth a play, I'll download that and play it. But, you've then, 360 release a big game, you're going to play 360 as opposed to a subscription-based system, because you've got that game, you own it, you're not stuck to the time limit. If you're allowed whatever you want, time limit doesn't matter, because you've got time to play it, and you're getting what you want at the end of the day. I've just thought of another problem, though.
What's that?
I find it hard to believe that any PS3 games would be in this download system.
I doubt that as well. Well, they're saying that it may be PS2 downloadable titles.
That I can understand. I mean, people download 5-6 gig regularly these days, but 50 gig. For a PS3 game, it's not going to happen.
I'm trying to look up something that I've seen here as a rumor that PSN was going to also include stuff like cross-game chat and whatnot, but I cannot find a confirmation on that rumor. If so, that's something that I think that the PlayStation has needed for a long time that the Xbox has had taken for granted. I mean, because we can be playing different games and talking to each other almost like a Skype call, and You know, if the PlayStation didn't have that, that's a serious drawback for their community.
It doesn't. Yeah. But then that said, the problem I've got is that I only have one friend on my friends list on PS3.
Mm. Really?
That's it. Yeah. Because I don't know. It's not as user friendly as the 360, and I just go on there to. I can't remember the last game I was that played on it on there, but I think it was Condemned 2. I just go in there to smash people and then leave. I don't make friends on that system because I don't have a mic for it either. So I don't chat to people when I play it because there was no easy system as opposed to 360, which had a, hey, you bought the premium, here's your mic, plug it in there. Oh, awesome, it works and it's wireless, it's fantastic, near you. PS3, you need a Bluetooth headset. I don't want to get a Bluetooth headset. Well, you need to if you want to listen, talk to people. I'm not going to talk to people then. Fuck you. I'm not paying £30 for a Bluetooth headset, for a wireless headset that I don't need.
Let's get off the Sony bashing for all, because we did kind of go on a tirade there against Sony for just a bit. And I like to keep things at least a little unbiased.
Okay. Hang on. I've got another tirade then. Nintendo, something original and new, please. Get out of the way, do something else now. We're bored.
I mean, the 3DS is a nice gimmick, but every game I've seen for it has not been original. We saw, like, a Metal Gear game for it. We saw... Well, Kid Icarus is a rehash of an old franchise, but there's no new properties coming out of any of these people. I saw nothing of a new, potentially unrecognized name that could hit it big. Nothing at all. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about some of the game reveals from Sony for a second. Killzone 3... Echo Chrome 2, Sly Cooper Collection, and that's about... Oh, God of War, Ghost of Sparta. And then a bunch of shit about 3D gaming. That seems to be what Sony focused on for the whole thing. And it's so big that I remembered to talk about it at the beginning. That's how big 3D is. No, I didn't. Because it's not big. It's no.
Everybody I know who's tried playing any game in 3D, which is basically Batman.
Oh, and by the way, I'm reading this off of a PlayStation Lifestyle blog, which is run by Sony, and they said, Killzone 3 demoed in 3D literally stuns E3 crowd. No, they weren't stunned, they were just bored.
I was going to say,
it looked nice.
Nobody cares
about Killzone. Killzone does not have a dedicated, loyal fan base. I know I'm probably going to get slaughtered for that by one or two fanboys.
No, you're not. Yeah. No, you're not. You're not going to get slaughtered by it, because it doesn't. Because nobody's ever cared about... Killzone 1 came out, everyone's like, oh, it's amazing, it's a new shooter. And to be fair, it was a new shooter,
it was quite interesting.
I didn't like it.
Here's my problem. Here's why I'm more of a Halo fanboy than I am a Killzone fanboy. It is nothing to do about the gameplay, because the gameplay in both are fairly competent. And in some ways, I actually kind of prefer Killzone, because it's not as jumpy-shooty as Halo is. But I don't care about any of the characters in Killzone. I could care less than an iota about any of them.
I can't even remember the story for Killzone.
I can't remember any of their names.
Is that the one that's something about white canisters or something on people's
No, this
back?
Is about the Hellgast, who are an offshoot of humanity who want to come back to Earth. They're from the planet Helgan, which was colonized, and they want to come back, and they've started a war with the humans. Guys with orange glasses on. Did any of this ring?
Yeah, I thought they had weird canisters. Maybe I'm just imagining it and comparing it to a different game. Somebody might tell me what this other game is. If you know what this other game is, answers on a postcard. Nobody does postcards anymore. That's what email's for.
Yeah. I put it in the forum thread, if anything. Yeah. White canisters.
Indeed.
Go. So Killzone 3 in 3D, God of War, Ghost of Sparta. Nothing new. I thought they were going to show off like a PSP 2, but no, nothing.
I'm trying to think what game was announced. Big game. I mean, huge game at E3 that was announced. It was given lots of time. That wasn't a sequel.
Oh, God, I can't think of any.
Or a remake.
Even the ones that I was excited about, they're all sequels. They are all
sequels. Yeah, same here.
Oh, exactly, we're seeing... But that's a condition of the marketplace, I think. Where the global economy is right now, a lot of developers are very, very afraid, more now so than ever, about taking a chance and taking a chance on something original, which is
a
shame.
The problem is, to be fair, the problem is that us as consumers never buy big things.
Hang on a second. There were a couple of new games, but even those are so derivative that they're almost remakes. Vanquish, for one. I mean, I'm waiting for Vanquish. I mean, that's made by the same people who made Bayonetta, and it looks really good. But it looks very, very Gears of War Halo-ish. I mean, there's barely anything differentiating, except for maybe, like, the combat style, but there's barely anything differentiating it from those games.
Actually, there's another one.
Uh-huh.
There's a game I've just thought of. So, technically, a sequel or remake, but it's shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a new take on a current existing game, WWE All-Stars.
Oh, let's talk about that for a second. I'm not much of a wrestling fan, but you and Jamie are, so go ahead, guys. What do you got to say about this one?
Well, I'm just going to ask Jamie a question. What the fuck?
Jamie, your rebuttal, sir.
Oh, God. WWE All-Stars is basically... THQ have made another attempt on a fighting come wrestling game. Do you remember the two games they tried that with on the PlayStation 1? It were bloody awful. Today. WCW Thunder, WCW Nitro.
Oh, God.
Well, this is basically looking like a WWE version. And another interesting thing is the team that they've got making this game are the same team that made TNA Impact.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. They should be beaten for that. Now, from the gameplay footage that was shown at E3, we had an overly muscular, huge Rock and an overly muscular, huge John Cena. Now, these people weren't even realistic to humans, let alone their real-life counterparts.
Wait, do they have the license to use the Rock's face now that he's owned by Disney Corporation? He is. He's owned by them. Jesus Christ, he is.
Because they make it about a character that was before that, and he's given them permission to do it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I
know
you're
trying to joke, but it's
originally
true.
Owned by Disney.
And they're doing it, and they have like a fight, and then what happens is, I think at the start of the thing I saw, Cena goes for a five knuckle shuffle, and he jumps 10 feet in the air, is it?
Jesus.
Does a spin,
something like that.
He comes back down and does the smash.
Sure,
it
you
looks
can.
Like it looks like a dog's ass. It is terrible. And we're there, and I think it was it
bing,
Cody
bing,
Rhodes?
Bing, bing, bing.
Cody Rhodes was talking about it on an interview on GameStop. And Cody Rhodes says, it takes me back to when I was a kid, and, you know, you really did think everyone was bigger than they were, and everyone was a giant, and, you know, you really thought Shawn Michaels was going to super kick someone's head off one day and all this kind of stuff. I thought, yeah, no, I can understand that when you were tiny, you know, small 5-6-year-old, that's kind of the... kind of the impression you get from wrestling. But wrestling itself gives us our OTT nature, its over-the-topness, all this other good stuff. And the games themselves give us the ability to live out these fantasies, these superhuman people, as they do ridiculous moves. I mean, anybody who's done the creator aerial finisher in SmackDown 2010 will testify to doing impossible things. But those games are playable because they've got an air of what you see on TV. You know, what you see on TV is what it's based on, which in itself is OTT. So when you play the game, you think you actually are doing the wrestling thing, which is good. This is nonsense. this is trying to make... This is Super WWE Fighter Zero.
You have my attention, sir.
This is what they're trying to make. They're trying to make a beat-em-up. However... Cody Rhodes, in his infinite wisdom of knowing fuck all, stated that he thinks it's better than Super Street Fighter 4.
What?
You know, I was interested. Okay. Wait. I was interested in maybe checking this out, but that fuckhead can go die in a fire.
So he's a wrestler. He's been hit in the head too many times. It's not his fault.
No, actually, honestly, from what you're saying, because I'm actually not that big of a wrestling fan, that might actually get me into it. That's the standpoint I'm taking from it.
It won't.
Well, I mean, think about me for a second. I'm a Street Fighter fan. I'm not necessarily a wrestling fan. Do you think I might enjoy it?
Well, no. Well, it depends, right? If you remember, let's say, for example, you remember Def Jam?
Yeah.
Def Jam Vendetta. That was the second one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The second one.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was good. The last one that was good.
Yeah.
And you had, like, a small arena, and you had two people fighting, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was good because it was kind of really violent and gritty and,
yeah,
you know,
I kinda like that
real
game.
Street
feel.
Now, take that idea,
mm-hmm.
put it in a ring,
mm-hmm.
and take away all the violence,
mm-hmm.
really gritty violence, and add a slightly cartoonish violence. No real pain seems to be heard, but there seems to be bruising. People get bruised in this game, mm-hmm. more so than they do in any other wrestling game, which I don't think. So you get bruised a lot. No blood or anything.
Uh-huh.
No weapon. Mm-hmm. And put you in a ring. That's your area. That tiny space.
Mm.
Now play your Street Fighter.
It seems a little restrictive. Okay.
In a ring.
Here's the deal. I'll wait for a demo and then I'll make my choice. But I might actually pick that up. Possibly.
If you do, I'll slap you.
Well, let me try the demo. Let me keep an open mind for a second. Okay. I'm actually talking about trying a wrestling game for the fighting as opposed to the creator character for once. That's actually something. Now,
What I've seen, it just looks like a simpler version of SmackDown. But yeah, go on, Jamie.
Did you see in the video where they demonstrated John Cena's finisher?
I have not checked that out.
They completely screwed it up.
Did they now?
Basically, you know what John Cena's finisher is, the whatever it's called. It used to be called
attitude
the FU.
I'm barely familiar with it, but yeah. It's basically a botched fireman slam / DVD / nonsense that John Cena invented when he probably did a move wrong once.
Yeah.
Well, I'll talk about John Cena in a moment.
In this game, his finisher is he will pick you up for a suplex, jump about 10 foot in the air, do his little you can't see me thing, and then just basically drop you.
Wait, he does the you can't see me thing in the air?
Yeah.
I am the Red Cyclone!
No, don't ever compare Zangief. You can be executed for war crimes, Toya, for saying
that. Because you did that, Toya, you can no longer play Super Street Fighter 4. You're banned from it.
Fuck you, Sean.
Zangief will not let you win with him anymore.
And that's what Geef said.
That's what Geef said. Shout out to Imperium and Arya.
Speaking of John Cena and his infinite wisdom. There's a fantastic video on YouTube. I just want to say this,
mm-hmm.
just because it makes me chuckle. And he's supposed to be there training people how to wrestle. This is when he was a trainee as well. And the instructor goes up to him and goes, okay, put me in a hammerlock. And he does it. He goes, no, that's an armbar. No, no, this. And it happens 3 times with 3 different moves.
Oh, Jesus.
He's terrible. He's nonsense. Oh, and he throws the most pathetic looking punches in wrestling as well. and Mickey James got the piss taken out of her backstage before she got fired. She was backstage and someone said, oh, your punches aren't looking very good. And she said, they're better than John Cena's. And she got demoted for that and names drawn for the blood.
Nice. Oh,
wrestling. It's all right, nonsense.
let's talk about a different game for a second. I want to talk about Marvel vs. Capcom 3 because we actually got gameplay footage, bitch.
Never heard of it. All I have to say about that game, and Toy, you're gonna like what I have to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
Bing, 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 bing.
Thank you, Deadpool. No, the game.
Actually, that was my least favorite bit of it.
Well, then you suck.
It wasn't as creative as I thought Deadpool's supers were going to be. Because basically, Deadpool and Dante have the same super. You know, effectively the same super. They just look a little different. For what we did see, we don't really have any new character reveals as yet. However, we have a tentative what might be a leaked character list. We'll talk about that in a second. What I have seen of the game, though, I like. Good, colorful, frenetic action. A lot of attention to detail with character moves. A combo capping system. Basically, if you go too high up into the air or too long on a combo, it will end the combo and shoot your opponent back down to the ground. That's nice in terms of gameplay balance. A lot of the returning characters look as they you know, their moves play very similar to what they originally had done before. I'm loving what I see so far. It really is looking like I'm going to have to buy that game the day it comes
out. To me?
Mm-hmm.
To me, Chris Redfield looks incredibly powerful as well.
He's going to be the cable of this game.
I don't just mean because he won it, but I mean looking at all his abilities in that match, mm-hmm. that was nasty.
Yeah. My one that I thought was probably going to be the top tier of the group is Dante, because Dante's range is insane.
True, but he might be soft. You don't know what other things he's got. Mm. You know what I mean? I think he took damage quicker than anyone else, though. He was quite vulnerable, it seems. In a typical fast character sense.
Yeah.
Hulk was awesome as well.
Yes.
I think they've made Hulk a lot better.
I love Hulk's voice actor. Hulk's voice actor is brilliant. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to say, though, is a nice little thing that they've done to the game that they've thrown in there is that when you switch your character out, your character will actually say the name of the next character come in. So let's say you're playing as Ryu, and Ryu calls in Chris. He goes, "Chris!" You know, you're playing as Deadpool, and Deadpool calls in Dante. He goes, "Dante!" But what is really nice is the attention to detail with this, because if you're playing as Captain America and you call in Iron Man, he doesn't say Iron Man. He says, "Tony!" If you call in Cap with Iron Man, he doesn't say Cap. He says, "Steve." And, you know, things like the Hulk. The Hulk, if he calls an Iron Man, he goes, "Metal Man!" You know, because...
Yeah.
These are things I love. These are things that I'm really happy to see in the game. That, I mean, that and Sean's favorite thing is that he saw Deadpool actually perform the Shoryuken, which is an old comics joke.
And what I liked about that is when Dante would be taken out, you know, defeated in the game, he actually make the statement, "You pushed the wrong button!"
You mean Deadpool. You said Dante a second.
Deadpool, Dante. Same dude!
Basically.
What?
No, no. Well, attitude-wise and gameplay-wise, they're pretty similar.
No.
Yeah. Yes.
No.
Yes.
Let's not get into a no-yes battle, because I'm better than you. So...
No. So let's talk about the full roster supposedly being leaked. What happened is... On the official Marvel vs. Capcom 3 website, there was a Flash thing where you can select which character you'd like to see and see their bio and everything. However, in the source coding of the webpage, there was a list of names for each of the sections. Like, each of the character slots was named. And there were some pretty definitive names in there. Unless this is a joke or placeholder names put in there, this is probably the definitive lineup. And I don't think they're placeholder names because they were wiped clean after this was found. So let's go down the list of Marvel characters one by one. I want each of you to give me like a one word or two word impression on what you think of each character. Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Deploy.
Let's start with the Marvel side. Number one, Spider-Man. Start with Bob.
Excelsior.
Okay, Sean.
Yeah. Bob. Fair enough.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. The Hulk.
Yeah.
Smash.
Smashy, smashy.
Wolverine.
Yeah, again, kind of normal.
Schnickiness.
Cool. Mr. Fantastic.
No, that's a stretch.
Why are we having Marvel Dalseem? Why?
Basically, Mr. Fantastic is the Dalseem of the group.
Fantastic Fire! Fantastic Fire!
Okay.
Fantastic Flame.
Fantastic Stretch! Fantastic Stretch!
Captain America.
Again, normal. Just, yeah, got to be there.
It's Cap. You can't have Marvel vs. Capcom without Cap.
Awesome.
Iron Man.
Like the character, hate him in the game. Toya knows this.
Yeah.
Why the fuck does he have a big gun?
He's Iron Man. He doesn't need a gun.
We're going to skip War Machine because apparently War Machine is an alternate skin for Iron Man. Next character, Elektra.
Why? I'm going to say one thing now. Mm-hmm. I can't say it now. I'm going to say it at the end. Just remind me of Elektra later, Toya.
Okay.
Remind me of Elektra
later. We'll go
into
that, yeah. Sean?
Yeah, I'll see. I'll yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jamie?
Ah, cool.
Okay, next. Next character.
Jamie, are you just going to say cool to everything? A giant turd. Cool. Yeah. Jamie's naked mother. Oh, yeah, cool. God.
next character, Thor.
Yes!
Well, it hurts.
Oh, God.
Oh. What was that?
He said it's Thor because it hurts. Jamie.
Hammer time.
Nice. Next character, X-23.
Matt.
Bingo!
God. Jamie?
Who?
I should clarify this for certain listeners. If you don't know who X-23 is, she is essentially the clone daughter of Wolverine.
Nice.
There you go. next character, Magneto.
Yay.
Well, oh, there it goes. He's going to be erasing the game.
I'm just gonna say air spam for the win, Jamie.
Yeah.
Nice.
Doctor Doom.
Yay.
Yay.
Lefaria.
Now we're just saying random related things. Shumagorath.
I'm gonna say this one.
Uh-huh.
Who, why?
I fucking love Shumagorath, dude. He's the tentacle dude. He's a doctor.
I know
tentacle.
Who he is.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what that means. He's a tentacle dude. You're gonna see Marvel versus Capcom tentacle rape porn.
No.
There already exists a lot of that online.
They even
made a joke about it in the ending for Marvel Super Heroes vs. Street Fighter, where they had Shumagorath like eyeing up Sakura in his ending.
Right. The end of the day is right. He is possibly the most obscure bad guy in the history of bad guys.
I like him because he's original. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with a tentacle eyeball thing. Anyway, moving on. Emma Frost. Emma Frost.
Yeah, okay.
Boobies!
Yeah, go ahead, Jamie.
Interesting.
I don't want to see her in this. She is not a hand-to-hand character, in my opinion. I don't want to see her in this.
She's for sex appeal.
Yeah. Deadpool.
Yay!
Possibly the one character everybody wanted more than anyone else was Deadpool. Here's a somewhat obscure one, but more of a WTF than anything else. Super Skrull.
No, you see, Super Skrull's more relevant because of the Skrull invasion that happened last year.
Yeah.
I suppose, but given who he is, I'd like to see him as like a sub-boss, maybe?
No. I think he's going to be an interesting character to play with. Because he's going to have a number of abilities, and I'm wondering if it's going to be reminiscent of Shang Tsung in Mortal Kombat, you can change your fighting style depending on an input of a move.
I'm thinking more like Seth from Street Fighter 4, where he'll just be like a mishmash of different moves from different characters.
That's actually what I was thinking. I was wondering what was the name of the one guy that could do the other moves?
Yeah, that's Seth, yeah. Here's a character that I'm really happy about, Taskmaster.
What? Yeah, he's a really obscure character that has saw fame recently because he was working for Osborn, only to run away again.
His superpower is that he has photographic muscle memory, meaning that if he sees somebody do a martial arts move, he automatically knows how to do it. I think he's maybe more going to be the Shang Tsung of the group, or at least the Rogue. I'm thinking what happens is whoever he's playing against, he becomes a mirror match for them. That might be interesting. So, you know, like a null character. Because the game's in 3D, you could do that. Just have his model and then just change his player data to whoever he's fighting. You, like, switch in a character and he just looks at them. You see a little thing happen and then his fighting style changes. Might be interesting.
Would do, except for problems when you face characters like, I don't know, Akuma, Ryu, who could throw fireballs,
Iron Man, because then he could do that. Well, okay, Iron Man there'll be a problem with. I give you Iron Man. Anyway, moving along. Juggernaut.
Yep.
That's a big bitch!
Cool.
And one of my personal favorites that I was begging to be put into the game, She-Hulk!
Yay. That's an even sexier big bitch!
I love me some Jen.
I want to say something now.
Yes.
Fucking Elektra, who nobody's ever cared about,
uh-huh.
is in this game.
Yeah.
Cyclops is not.
Oh,
why?
Bob, I'm
Discuss.
Sorry. Honestly, I think Discuss, Cyclops Bob. Would have been a better choice, because Cyclops, long range... There's hardly anyone in this game, except for maybe Chris Redfield and Iron Man, who is a purely long-range fighter. And even Iron Man's not that much of a long-range fighter.
I have a theory why they did that, is they want people to actually get in together, you know, and just duke it out, instead of somebody just spamming I-beams across.
No.
See, that's the thing, Sean, is that Marvel vs. Capcom is not Street Fighter. Marvel vs. Capcom is about the projectile spam. That's how you control your gameplay area. That's part of the game. I mean, think about this. Sentinel's Fierce Punch in the game is a fireball. Mega Man's Fierce Punch is a fireball. Cyclops' Fierce Punch is a fireball. Fireballs are par for the course in Marvel vs. Capcom. They make them easier to do. Anyway, moving along. Here are the Capcom lists. We'll do it the same way. Ryu!
You knew he was going to be in it.
Mm-hmm. Bob, Jamie?
Yeah, you know, it's Ryu.
Nice.
what are we going to say? It's Ryu.
Here's a surprise for you. Mike Hagar!
Yes, and I'm going to go... When we get to the end, I'm going to show my next disgust. But yeah,
okay, Hagar. Okay. Who was that again?
Mike Hagar was a character from the original Final Fight game. He was in it with Guy and Cody, two characters who have now resurfaced in Street Fighter 4. Hagar was the big bruiser of the brute. He was also the mayor of Metro City, and he is the one who taught Zangief the spinning pile driver move.
That's what Geef said.
Cool.
Moving on, Frank West from Dead Rising.
Cool. Oh, you wonder, do you think his super is where he's going to run off camera and there's a whole bunch of zombies are going to come across at him?
I'm hoping like his super is like he takes pictures of people while they're being eaten by zombies.
Photorific.
Nice.
Oh, you can just see him and Spider-Man having a photograph off.
Oh, God, that has to be a special intro. Oh, my God, that'd be genius. And the dialogue would be, I work for the Daily Bugle. Hey, I've covered wars, you know.
Well, I recorded myself fighting crime. Do you see those zombies? I photographed them.
Moving on, Chuck is an alternate Frank West outfit. Nothing much to be said there. Spencer Rad from Bionic Commando.
Yeah.
Move along.
Okay. Cool. Not much Bionic. Jamie, come on. You're a retro gamer. You know Bionic Commando. Come on. Don't you own that game?
Have you seen what they done to him?
Us?
Okay. Well, if it's going to be the one from the remake.
I might be, but I can't remember.
the one they made for the remake, his arm is as almost big as him.
I kind of like that. That's not so bad art style-wise. Anyway, moving along. Dante.
Yeah.
Cool.
He has the guitar, though. Awesome. He does have the guitar.
Does have the guitar. The Nevon is usable. Next character, Chris Redfield from Resident Evil.
Awesome. Watching cool. his fighting was cool. freaking awesome, and I just love that he pulls the flamethrower out.
That's nice. Morrigan from Darkstalkers.
Sex appeal.
Yeah.
Cool.
Bob?
Yeah. Never played Darkstalkers, so I never really cared for the character.
An interesting game.
I'm glad to see her back. For me, Darkstalkers always needs to be represented in a versus game, and Morrigan is the perfect ambassador for that series. Next on the list is another big surprise, Arthur from Ghosts and Goblins.
That is bringing in some retro.
To be fair,
that really is.
I care. Most people care more for him than they do fucking Hagar.
Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
If he gets hit hard enough in the game, does his armor come off?
I want to see Hopefully. That be like when he gets KO'd. I want to see his armor come off.
KO! I'm naked!
No, I don't. I want his, his armor to get knocked off, like Vega in...
as a gameplay thing. Yeah, that's interesting.
The harder the hit, the more armor that comes off.
No. At the start. Mm-hmm. At the start, he's got high defense.
Yeah.
As you knock armor off him, his speed increases.
Interesting. Yeah, I like the way you think fights. About that, Bob. That is excellent.
And it's got to be one of his attacks as he throws the lance.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would be a super.
That's going to be a super. He'll throw a big giant lance, or you get lots of, I don't know, cheesy hobgoblins.
Actually, you know what I want for one of his supers? Is if you think back to the one that was the game that was on the Super Nintendo, I want like one of his supers to be, he summons like a wave of water from the background, and you have to find a safe spot to stand on the screen, and if you don't, you're dead. Or you know, you take a lot of damage.
Nice.
I think that'd be cool. Anyway, moving down the list, here's another big surprise. Amaterasu from Okami.
Yeah.
That is a surprise.
I'm kind of excited for that. I'm wondering if they're actually going to do voice data for Amaterasu, like when you switch out characters with her, if she'll actually like just growl at certain ones.
Oh, wait, that's the wolf, isn't it?
Yeah, the wolf from Okami. Yeah.
Do you know, I've never played that game.
Oh, that is... if you like Zelda, you need to play that game.
Now, is it on the GameCube?
No. It's on the PS2. I thought it was on the PS2 and the Wii. It got ported to the Wii. It's
the GameCube and the PS2.
No. It was not GameCube. It was PS2 and Wii. I'm very certain of that. Because it was originally on the PS2, and they made a big deal about it going to the Wii, because then you could use the Wii control to do the paintbrush thing.
Jamie, go to Wikipedia. Find out.
While Jamie looks that up, Albert Wesker from Resident Evil.
What, you want me to look up?
Your penis!
No. Okami!
Look up
what
Okami.
What consoles was it released on?
Yeah, what consoles was Okami released on? So
Albert Wesker's just going to be, what, a reskin of Chris Redfield? Or is he going to have his own moves?
Yeah, he's got to have his own moves. Given
Wait a minute. Then he could be he one of his supers could be where he looks like he's about to transform then attacks.
I'm willing to bet.
I don't think that would be a super. I think he'll actually... I wouldn't be surprised if he transformed at the start of the fight. Or he might have a kind of djinn thing if he's the last person left,
ooh,
less than half health.
Yes.
Transform.
How the hell do you spell it?
O-K-A-M-I. Okami. Yeah. Next character up on our list, Zero from Mega Man X.
Nice.
Yeah, never played Mega Man X.
It could be Zero from Mega Man X, or it could be Zero from Mega Man Zero. But I'm thinking it's Zero from Mega Man X because they use Zero from Mega Man Zero in SNK versus Capcom SVC Chaos. So I doubt they'd use the same character twice, so I'm thinking it's going to be MMX Zero. So if it's MMX Zero, I'm kind of happy, and I want his background music in the game. He has one of the most epic hero themes of all time. Next on our list, Chun-Li.
You know it's going to be there.
Of course, of course. Cool. Yes.
By the way, it was released on PS2 and Wii.
Ha!
Okay.
Ha-ha!
You win.
I win.
You win.
KO. Perfect. Sorry.
Hydro Combo finish!
KO!
Anyway.
Moving on. Next character, one that I'm happy to see in this game, Beautiful Joe!
Nice!
I'm very happy about that.
I love that game. That game is so much fun.
He is so right for this game engine. There is no way that... come on. That the man is made for the game. I want his super to be like a slow-mo combo. That's all she wrote right there. Next character, Trish from Devil May Cry. Kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Next character, Tron Bonne from Mega Man Legends, which is interesting because we saw her in one of the backgrounds during the gameplay vids.
I have no idea who this person is.
She's like
Ro, isn't she?
No, that's the chick who you played against her in Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Bob. She's the one with all the serve bots running around her.
Oh, T-Bone.
Yeah, T-Bone. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What did you say?
Tron Bonne. That's her full name.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I don't know what her full name is. I don't know who she is.
She was actually kind of a minor villain from Mega Man Legends. But she's got like a big following in Japan, so she's, you know, a fan favorite character.
All right, cool. That's good. That's a good enough reason. I'm happy with that.
Next up on our list, Hishen Kyo from Darkstalkers.
Again, don't care.
Now, which one was that, Toya?
She's the one who is the Chinese hopping zombie. She's got a little talisman on her face. And well, the cool thing about her, what I'd like to see her do in 3D is her thing is that when she does a projectile, she throws random items from inside her cloak. So she'll throw like metal balls with spikes. She even throws like a statue of Akuma. All these different weird things she throws. So I'm want to see what they do with that in this game. Next up on our list, Akuma.
Yeah, nice. Normal.
Yeah, had to be done.
Kind of everyone knew. Yeah. Had to be done.
I'm wondering though if his Raging Demon will take up 3 levels of super like in Marvel vs. Capcom 2 or 1 level of super like in X-Men vs. Street Fighter. Remains to be seen. And
I'm gonna go with 3.
Yeah, probably 3. Our final character on this possible list is Felicia from Darkstalkers.
Again, with the Darkstalkers.
Interestingly enough though, she was playable in the demo at E3, yet I saw none of the gameplay vids feature her.
Now, this is the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Street Fighter is the bigger brand.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there not more Street Fighter characters? Because at my count, there's 3.
Well, here's the thing. I can vouch for the overabundance of... Well, a lot of the Street Fighter characters have been done in the previous Versus games. So I think maybe to have imported them in from Street Fighter might have been seen as kind of lazy. Because honestly, with a game like... Let's look at Capcom versus SNK2. More than half of the Capcom staff, of the Capcom members on that game are Street Fighter characters. And it kind of diluted the gene pool a bit, if you understand what I'm saying, because it felt like a Street Fighter game after a while. I think what they're going for in this is variety, because if you look at Amaterasu, Albert, Wesker, Arthur, Tron Bonne, those are all very different body types and sizes. Beautiful Joe isn't even the same art style as everybody else. Well, actually, that's a good question. Would he be the same art style, or would they like... No, could they? Like, do, like, a regular proportion Beautiful Joe? Oh, my God, that'd be brilliant. Sorry, talking to myself there for a second. Anyway.
Yes, we know. The problem, I was just going to say, like I said, again with this one, Mike Hagar.
Yes.
From Final Fight.
Mm-hmm.
Or fucking Zangief.
I know you're angry, Bob, but I like to see Mike Hagar, and putting both of them in would have been redundant.
You do not know of my anger. You know Anakin Skywalker before he became a whiny bitch?
Yeah.
You know Vader's anger?
Yeah.
That's my anger. That's
Do
my
not
anger.
Want!
Exactly.
I'm happy with Hagar. I'm probably going to main Hagar just to piss Bob off.
You'll just get upset when I beat you with Emma Frost.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if he does. I just hear Toy going, fuck you, Bob!
He won't. He'll probably say, thank you.
So this is only a possible list, but given the source, it seems highly likely that this is the final list. And I'm, for the most part, pleased that they're going a very disparate route with this. I'm pleased to see that, you know, this is how far into their trenches they're reaching to get characters. They're still not happy about Elektra and maybe not X-23, but the rest of them, I mean, Taskmaster, it's like, who did I screw at Capcom to get that, you know? Jeez.
His name was...
No, but I need to find them and destroy them. That's what I'm going to say.
Dennis,
find them and destroy them.
All right, folks, we're running kind of long in this podcast. I think we've pretty much exhausted everything we want to talk about, and we made it kind of lively. You guys ready to close up on this one? Anybody have any final closing thoughts on E3 2010?
I do want to say something.
Uh-huh.
It was at E3, and I'm liking the new look of the new Mortal Kombat 9.
Yeah, that's
10. Is it 10?
No, it's 9.
Yeah, it's 9. Me and Jamie actually watched game footage of it and listened to the Ed Boon, the guy who created it, who's now working, with Warner Brothers?
Yeah, yeah.
I think because Midway lost the rights to it, right?
Yeah.
Or they sold the rights. To me, going to Warner Brothers actually opened up more doors for Mortal Kombat than keeping it at Midway, because Midway was keeping it all, oh, we're going to keep it this way, this way, this way, this way.
Yeah, they kill the innovation. They kill the innovation of the franchise.
And then, because they're, admit it, Toya, Mortal Kombat had potential.
Mm-hmm. At first it did, but it needed to change. It needed to evolve, and it didn't evolve in the right ways, unfortunately.
And then finally it has evolved to where I would love to get my hands on it.
I'm gonna give it an open mind. I'm gonna give it a try when it comes out. I'm gonna see if it's earned my respect as yet, because
they removed the friendships and the babalities.
Well, no, they removed that a while ago.
Have they removed the block button and the run button though?
I need that to be removed. That needs to be a joystick command. I'm sorry.
Well, not necessarily.
It looks like the run
button I can handle. The run button is doable because you can work
double tap forward. Every other fighting game does double tap forward. Why does Mortal Kombat?
I know.
I'm
saying it's possible. I'm not saying I like it. I'm saying it's usable.
You know what I'll say is the game that has. No, you know what is the game I say has the best run feature of any fighting game has got to be BlazBlue. Guilty Gear. Because in Guilty Gear, when you run forward and you start attacking, you attack with the momentum of your run. If you want to attack like a normal combo, but you still want to run, you have to run, dash cancel your run by screeching to a halt, and then start your combo. I like that. That's intuitive to me.
Now what makes this new one pretty good, they're actually using a deeper fighting engine.
Well, deeper could mean a lot of things. It's
so deep that it's next door neighbor to Satan.
Well, given Mortal Kombat, I'm not surprised. I don't know. They'll scream deeper for all they want, but until I get the game in my hands, I'm not gonna know. Or at least I can watch some gameplay footage that shows me otherwise. I'm going to approach this one with caution, but I'm not gonna write it off. It's easy for me to write off a Mortal Kombat game at this point, but I'm not going to. I'm going to be the bigger game journalist here and give it a try. So guys, this has been our E3 2010 episode. It's been full of a couple of surprises, more often than not disappointments.
What are you talking about, video games?
Are we going to talk about what we've been playing this week?
Yeah, we can do a quick what we've been playing this week. Bob, you start. What's up?
Red Dead Redemption.
Uh-huh.
Ace Combat 6.
Mm-hmm.
Sonic Unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
Gears of War 2. Force Unleashed. I downloaded the Tatooine level. That was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
What else am I playing? Playing something else.
I gotta say, before you got to Force Unleashed...
Forza 3.
Yeah, I was gonna say, before you got to Force Unleashed, your game collection is starting to sound eerily like mine now.
There was it, Bioshock 2, which I got for a tenner, which was a bargain. Ace Combat 6, Force Unleashed. Sneeze. Red Dead Redemption. And Gears War 2 and a bit of Final Fantasy 13. So I've just been spreading my love all over people's faces.
That just sounds
Mean. Jamie, what have you been playing?
I've been playing My Sims Agents on the DS for something to do. It's quite an interesting game.
What?
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
Jamie, are you nine?
No.
9 inches, no. Tall.
I was going to say, yeah. But I've missed a game. I'm playing UFC 2009 as well.
Okay, hang on a second.
Now I know why.
Shut up. Everybody shut up. Jamie, why are you playing My Sims?
Because I was bored and I found the ROM on the internet.
Shh, we don't say that here. You bought the game. Shut up. You bought the game.
No, I'm not that insane.
Fair enough.
So basically, you're a thief. You really are. You're turning more and more into a Jawa every day. Every day, you turn more into a Jawa.
Jamie, you have to say the line.
No. Hang on. Bobby's not even a good thief because he didn't steal anything of value.
I know. He's a proper Jawa. I stole this droid. It doesn't work. I sell it to these stupid farm people. Oh, it explodes. I have to give them a good one.
Oh, there's a thought. Sell the game to Moon. He's
Moon's probably already got it and completed it.
No, he's freak. No. Moon's a stupid Farmville person.
He's a stupid farm boy, but he doesn't have any kind of special powers. He's just a retard.
Sean, what have you been playing this week?
Jack 2 and God of War 2.
Awesome. Excellent. Very solid.
I actually broke out a retro game. Another game, I was actually playing the first Naruto fighting game.
Huh. That's not that retro, but yeah, that's not bad. Okay. I have been playing Split Second, which is starting to get a little bit boring, although I'm still slogging through it just to finish it. Been playing that. Been playing some Dungeons & Dragons Online. Again, you can find me on the Kyber server as Deceptus Thunderbreaker. Been playing some Super Street Fighter 4, some Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Bob almost beat me. Bob actually almost beat me one time.
With you having Sentinel as well.
Yes, with me having my best team as well. Bob is getting a lot better. Bob is kicking ass. I also dug out a fairly old game today, which I haven't got a lot of time to spend with yet, but I have actually not played this as yet. System Shock 2, which I'm told I must play.
Oh, it's amazing. It's the most amazing. I'm not going to say anything else.
Okay, I will be playing that today because it comes highly recommended. Our good friend George recommends System Shock 2, so I will be playing that. And
who has any sense recommends System Shock 2. It's one of the most amazing games ever. I'm so excited. It's a fantastic game.
I'm probably going to play it as soon as we're done with the podcast. Also, I've been playing The Path, which is a fun little indie game that you can have for like $10 online. It's rather disturbing, and I mean that in the most intense of ways. It's not like a hacker slasher horror flick. It is psychologically disturbing in a very Silent Hill kind of way, and if you're into that sort of thing, good, but it does touch on some very, very disturbing subjects, so go into that with caution. Look up a trailer on YouTube. It's pretty good. I played through almost the whole thing already, and I'm sort of enjoying where it's going. It's good stuff.
I saw some of the footage, and I'm like, I want to play this game.
It's interesting. I'll give you that. I'll probably talk about it a lot more next week when I actually complete it. I want to actually do kind of a kind of a recommendation thing on it, but let's wait till I've actually finished it.
Can I mention something about next week?
What's next week is BotCon, isn't it? You might not be here.
Unfortunately, I will not be here next week, ladies and gentlemen, or whoever.
No, what a shame.
I am
what
going to be
do?
At BotCon.
I have
Nobody
a mission.
Nobody cares, it's a video game podcast.
No, I have a mission for Sean. Sean, here is your mission. Okay. Should you choose to...
I am not touching that dude again.
No, shut up. Listen. Paul Eating is going to be at BotCon. Paul Eating was the voice of Perceptor in Generation 1. He was also the voice of Roy Campbell in Metal Gear Solid. Your mission, Sean, is to infiltrate BotCon and ask Mr. Paul Eating if he can do an introduction for us for the podcast.
I will see what I can do.
Okay, here's your...
My ways of making him talk.
No, Sean. You have to do it with this cardboard box over your head.
You know what? I was wondering what I'm going to have him sign. I'm actually going to get a cardboard box and have him sign it.
If you do, you do realize it's in his contract that he has to beat you to death afterwards. You do know that, don't
Man,
you?
Man, contracts are getting specific these days, aren't they?
They are. It's wonderful.
Okay, who wants me to go up into line wearing the box?
No, don't do that, Sean. Don't do that. There's first of all, where are you going to get a box that big?
I was going to say.
Hey, I found a crate a car came in. Damn it. Yeah,
I was going to say, you know, you've got perfectly serviceable cardboard boxes for fridges these days. And some houses come in cardboard, sheds can come in a cardboard box. those are all suitable boxes.
So,
yes.
So let's end on that note. I am Toya. With me have been Bob.
Hello,
Jamie.
Catch you on the flip side.
Bye.
I missed that. And Sean.
Penis.
Oh, Jesus. Oh.
You know, at this point, I want him to go back to bacon. Jesus Christ.
Okay, Toya?
Yeah.
Bacon.
Fair enough. This has been the Wait What Podcast, our special E3 coverage, which wasn't very special. Goodbye, folks!